I've met a lot of people that are going through a lot of things the last 4 years, and as bad as it seems, it could always be worse. And I know that's kind of cliche, but it really is true. And then you meet people who are worse off than you that just have this amazing outlook on life, and you're like, man, like maybe I should try to be a little more positive or feel a little more grateful for what I actually do have. And I've got a great family. I've got great friends. Life's not as easy as it used to be, but I'm still pretty lucky to be in a better situation than a lot of people in the world.
It's a special place, not because of the walls or the weights or the decor, but because of the characters that hang out here. I'm Jake Waring, and my family has been empowering our community's journey to optimal health and fitness for generations. We are a family, and we help other families. And this is the pursuit of excellence, meaningful results, genuine connections, and having plenty of good laughs along the way. This podcast embodies all those principles. Join us each week as we share stories, insights, and tips that may help you reach your fullest potential in mind, body, and spirit. You were a pro baseball player for the St. Louis Cardinals. Let's see, I believe this is the starting date, December 7th, 2016. You were employee at Waring's Gym.
Sounds about right.
Was it a little bit before
I think it was earlier. I think it was sometime around March or April, actually.
I have a photo on my phone that was like your profile photo for the website.
Yeah.
And that was the date on it. I was like, that was probably the date.
I think it was like March or April that I started.
March or April. Yeah. Okay. Then you turned into a successful businessman, 2020. We all know that. You had an unexpected turn of events that turned you into an adaptive athlete. And now I would say definitely just from talking to people, you're an inspiration. You're one of Virginia Beach's favorite sons, Brock Peterson. So stoked to have you here.
I'm happy to be here, and it's always good to hang out with friends.
We've been recently texting buddies. We're wrestling buds. We've been getting really into WWE and Monday Night Raw. And this weekend coming up, we got WrestleMania.
I try to suck as many people into the world as I can.
Yeah. So this episode is going to air after WrestleMania finishes. But Saturday night, we got a little watching party over there. But have you been into WWE for a long time?
Yeah, it's something that me and my dad used to watch like when I was a little kid. And you know, we would just wrestle around on the ground, and we would always pick who we wanted to be. And, you know, I think I was always Jake the Snake. And
it's my guy, dude.
Yeah. And, you know, my dad was always one of the bad guys. So it was just something fun that we did growing up.
Was Jake a good guy?
At times. I mean, I just liked him. I thought he was cool. So
people don't know it. There's two, and I just got into it. I've always thought it was like college wrestler. So I always thought like pro wrestling was like kind of stupid and fake, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
But recently, as I'm getting into it, one, the stories are unbelievable. They're really good. And the athleticism is incredible. So there's two types of people. There's baby faces, the good guys, and then there's the heels, which are the bad guys.
Which are normally who I like.
You like the heels?
Yeah, I think that being a heel would be fun.
Yeah, I think, who was it? Jesse and I went to Orlando, and we met Kurt Angle.
Yeah, I know that was like a lifelong dream of Jesse's. So I think his life is complete now.
Yeah, that was a funny experience. And what Kurt was talking about, he said it's way easier to be a heel.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to get people to not like you than to be liked. So being liked is a lot more work.
Yeah, so most of the new people that come in are all heels.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a better way to come in, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, to get people to get behind you can be tough.
Funny thing, just going to Orlando, Jesse, it's his lifelong dream to meet Kurt Angle. Did he talk to you about this?
We talked a little bit about it. I mean, he was sending me pictures, and I was really happy for him. I think it's cool when people get to experience something like that and meet somebody that they look up to.
Yeah, it was like 6 a.m, and Jesse walks to the hotel room, and he sees like Kurt Angle. He ran up to him. He's like, "I'm your biggest fan." Yeah. He's like, "Dude, I don't have time for you right now."
Yeah, I mean, it happens. Like, you know, people like that are athletes, or you know, they're just people at the same time, and so it's tough to juggle the fans in real life sometimes. And
we were just sitting in the crowd, Jesse, lifelong fan. And the guy who was hosting it was kind of doing, it was like almost like a podcast episode. And he was asking Kurt great questions, but then he was asking the crowd, anyone have any questions? And Jesse's like raising his hand the whole time. And eventually it was like,
dude, can you just come up here and you interview him? So he got to go up and actually interview Kurt. So it was cool to see that. Let's kind of go back a little bit. I kind of want to go through your life. How would you describe your journey?
I would say interesting.
It's been a wild ride,
a long, wild, winding road. To end up from out here in Virginia Beach, all the way from Chehalis, Washington. So yeah, I mean, I've been to 49 states.
Yeah,
all before I was like 35 years old, and yeah, I mean, it's been fun and been a cool experience.
Does it feel like a different like lifetime a little bit from like when you grew up like playing baseball? Because that was when we first met. That was when you first kind of got introduced to Waring's Gym, Virginia Beach in general.
Yeah, I started coming to Virginia Beach around 2009, and Colin Roberson brought me into the gym, who I'd actually never met. I'd played against him, but I'd never met him. And he just texted online and said, meet him at the gym at noon. And, you know, went in there and you guys basically said, hey, whenever you're in town, come on in. And you guys took care of me. And so it's part of the reason I moved to Virginia Beach was Waring's Gym.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just needed a new place to work out and wanted to get a fresh look on things. And
yeah, before you came over today, I was trying to think on like how we actually met. And I don't remember it, but I knew you were kind of traveling around with Colin at the time.
Yeah, I mean, we had just played against each other, and I remembered his name, but had never actually met him.
Yeah.
And he just saw I was in town. And from the very first time I came in the gym, your dad, Tony, everybody that was there was just really nice. And it was just such a different vibe at the gym of, you know, the employees and owners coming up and wanting to help out and not really asking for anything in return, just saying, hey, like, you know, you're welcome to come in. If you need anything, let us know. And just more than welcome to help.
Yeah. What was life like as a baseball player just traveling around?
It's definitely not what you think it's going to be when you get into it.
Really?
I mean, when I signed out of high school, I knew nothing. Like, I thought that...
When was that? How old were you?
18.
18?
Yeah. Like, I thought there was single A, double A, triple A in big leagues. I thought that everybody made $100,000 at least and life was easy. And I found out on the airplane down there that there was six or seven different levels and three or four of them were before you even got to A ball, and you made $900 a month. And so I got into that and realized it wasn't as glamorous as I thought it was going to be. Just an adjustment. I was lucky to have family and that was able to help and support me and try to let me live my dream, though, which I'm very thankful.
And there's a lot of games too, right?
Yeah, back then, it's changed a little bit now, but when I was playing, we played 142 games in 150 days.
Holy crap.
And three of those days off were in a row for the All-Star break. So really only had 5 days off in 5 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang.
It was a grind.
Were you driving or flying place to place?
Most time it's driving on a bus.
Okay.
AAA, depending on which league you're in, You fly quite a bit on the league that's in the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
The East Coast, Northeast League, you pretty much drive everywhere.
And then so 18 was kind of your journey like with to get up to the big, because you end up playing for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
That was the kind of the call up, starting from the ground level.
At 18, I got drafted by the Twins, and I played with the Twins for 8 seasons. Went all the way through their system.
Like farm league?
Yeah, I went from their lowest level up to AAA. Played AAA for like a little over 2 years with them. And then after that 2010 season, my contract ran out. And I ended up playing in the Dominican Winter League, which is like their big leagues. And was lucky enough to be on a really good team. And we won the championship, which was super cool. It's like a massive deal down there.
Yeah, and that's where there's a lot of skill coming out of there.
Yeah, there's some great baseball down there.
So having that opportunity, I'm sure, was pretty great.
Yeah, it was something, I mean, I think about it pretty much every day.
Is that a higher level of achievement than making it to the MLB or?
No, it's just different. It's cool because you get selected to go there. You make a lot better money. I made more in a month there than I would in a whole year in the States, in the minor leagues. So that's a big incentive is, you know, you go down there and make a little cash and supplement your income here. And just the experience, the level of play is pretty good. So, I mean, you're playing against a lot of big leaguers. And it's a good way to get ready for the next season.
What did you play? Were you first base?
I started as a third baseman, but I have a terrible arm. So after 1 year at third base, and I think I led the league in errors.
Oh, really?
They moved me to first base real quick. And, you know, I wasn't great.
Catch, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I wasn't great over there at the beginning, but by the end of my career, you know, I felt like I was serviceable and, you know, I felt like I got pretty good at it.
Yeah. What was your, and then what was that call like with the Cardinals?
After that 2010 season, I was kind of done with baseball. And actually, Colin Roberson, local Virginia Beach guy, just kept bugging me to join this independent team that he was on. And I didn't want to play. I was like, I was done. And finally, in like June, I was just tired of him calling me and the team calling me. So I said, fine, dude, I'll come play just to like get you off my back. Ended up getting there and realized it was a lot of fun. The baseball was actually pretty good. And so I played that season and wasn't really going to play the next year. And but I wanted to move to Virginia Beach. And rent is kind of seasonal here. And it was springtime and it was getting more expensive. So I said, you know what, I'll go play another season and then rent in the winter. And I tried to save a little money. And so I went and played on that team again up in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And literally like a couple of days before I was going to actually hang them up and go to college, I got a call from the Cardinals and they said, hey, we want to sign you. And I had this college scholarship plan for my signing bonus that I needed to start using within 2 years of being out of baseball, affiliated baseball. And I was coming up on that quick. And the first thing I said to my agent is, just make sure I sign this contract so that 2 years starts over again. End up getting a 2-year deal with them in 2013, played really well and just was lucky enough to get an opportunity to go to the big leagues, which was kind of made the whole 11 or how many years did I play? 13 years. Made the whole 13-year journey kind of worth it, just getting a month and a half in the big leagues.
God, isn't that crazy? You know, I read this in a book, probably 15 years ago, but they were talking about doing projects and, you know, a lot of creative work. And sometimes when you work, and you try something, you're thinking too hard about it. And the moment you give up is the moment when it, like, it all comes to you.
It's kind of what happened with me, honestly. Like, I just went and played on an independent team just as kind of something to do. And it took all the pressure away. And it was also kind of good because the expectation was just to show up and try to win. There was no politics of who was drafted where or who got the most money. It was just everybody's kind of equal there. And it took a lot of the pressure of trying to make the organization happy out of it. And I could just kind of go and do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And try new things. And I really think I became a better baseball player in that year and a half in independent ball than I did in 10 years of organized affiliated ball.
So you went from pro baseball to then becoming a realtor.
Yeah. So after 2015, I just decided like I was done.
You felt good hanging it up at that point?
Yeah. I was 31. I'd played for 13 years. I'd gotten sent back to AA for the first time since like 2008. Which I was fine with, but after the first month there, I played really well and they didn't even bring me to AAA. And I kind of realized like, all right, this might be the end. And I'm playing with 20-year-olds and my body hurt. I was just kind of over it. And so,
Colin Roberson told me this, I think it was probably around the same time. He was saying they're just looking for people that are improving. And the moment you stop improving, that's when you get sent down.
Yeah. I mean, there's different levels of, like, you know, people get a longer leash, like the guys who get a bigger signing bonus, they get more time to figure it out. You know, then there's like guys who sign like a senior year of college who, you know, they might get a couple $1,000 and a hot dog in their contract as a signing bonus. And basically if you don't play lights out from the start, you're going to be gone within a year or two. And it's kind of a bummer because a lot of times those older senior sign guys are just as good, if not better, than some of these high brown, you know, we call them bonus babies, that just get every opportunity in the world and just because someone said that they think they're good.
Yeah.
When a lot of times on the field, the players, we all know who's actually got the talent. And so that, there is politics, and it's a business. It's not just, it's not always who's the best player. It's there's a business side to it. People are trying to, you know, cover their butts for giving this guy $1 million and he's not working out, but we're just going to keep pushing him.
Yeah.
So there is some of that that goes on. But yeah, it's a grind, man. I mean, there's always somebody coming trying to take your job, and you're all supposed to be friends and teammates and working together, but you know that you're also competing against each other. So it is an interesting dynamic.
What's competition like in that level? Is it more of like based off of stats, or?
I mean, the competition's high. It's everybody there was the best player on pretty much every team that ever played on. And then you get to pro ball and
nobody wants to ride the pine.
Yeah. I mean, everybody wants to play. And, but I mean, just everybody's good. And so kind of the big thing that separates guys is some guys just can't handle not being the best or struggling. Like, most guys have never struggled, and you get the pro ball and you're going to struggle. There's even the Hall of Famers at some point, they struggle. And, so just learning to deal with adversity. I mean, you're playing a game that if you're the best in the league, you're still failing 70% of the time as a position player, as a hitter. So,
yeah, I mean, it seems like a really mentally tough game, because you are striking out most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's a kind of a brutal game. Like, as a hitter, you can hit 4 or 5 line drives one day, and like, at the end of the day, you won those at bats, but they could all go right at somebody, and you're 0-for-4, 0-for-5 and on the stat sheet, and it looks like you just had a horrible day. Yeah. And so that can be very challenging to be like, to try to mentally be like, all right, well, I did my job, it just didn't work out today. And hopefully the coaches and scouts that are watching take that into account, that hey, he had great at bats, did everything he could, just hit the ball right at somebody.
Yeah. When you go up to hit, do you have a strategy, or are you like, you're not always swinging for the fences, right?
Not always, but I mean, I was always trying to hit a homer. But, yeah, it just depends on, I mean, every pitch honestly is something different. From the outside, it's tough to explain and tough for people to understand unless you've been in the box and done it, just because to the outside, it just looks like, oh, a guy throws the ball and the guy tries to hit it and then they run around. But every little movement on the field changes something and gives you kind of ideas of what the other team might try to do to you the next pitch. So you have to take all this history and all these little things into account. Mm-hmm.
Are you tired of feeling sluggish, out of shape, and unmotivated? Introducing Xrsize, the all-natural solution for boosting energy, building strength, and improving mood. Now available anytime at Waring's Gym. Xrsize is a fast-acting, non-prescription solution, clinically proven to reduce stress, improve cardiovascular health, and sculpt your body, all with just 30 minutes a day. Side effects of Xrsize may include increased muscle mass, enhanced mood, boosted self-confidence, and a stronger heart. In some cases, users may experience the desire to wear smaller jeans and post-workout selfies. Talk to your loved one today to see if Xrsize at Waring's Gym is right for you. Join now and take the first step toward a stronger, healthier you.
What do you mean movement on the field, like the position of the infield, outfield, or?
Yeah, and or just the pitcher wiggling a finger. Could a lot of them do it subconsciously. They'll do something with their body that tells you they're going to throw a curveball, or they're going to try to throw this pitch to you. And there's just a lot of little things that you try to look for and figure out what they're thinking.
So that's probably where the older guys have a little bit better, just kind of based around experience. They can kind of read the field.
Yeah,
I mean, a little bit better.
And you just get more comfortable. You know, the more you play, the more comfortable you're going to get. And it just kind of becomes more natural to you. But yeah, there's a lot on the baseball field that's happening that the general public or fans from the outside don't really, it's hard to understand. And it's hard to explain to people, like, because there's so much going on.
Yeah, and that's what I've kind of liked about watching wrestling now, and wrestling, watching it with you and Jesse, and because you guys are you guys kind of the first time I came over and watched Royal Rumble, you guys were kind of explaining kind of what was going on, and there's a little bit there's more depth to most of what most people will see, you know?
Well, yeah, and Jesse's great to watch it with too, because he's done it at yeah. some level.
He's actually been nerd.
In the ring. And so he's got an idea of what the inside looks like a little bit. So he's taught me a bunch about it, which just makes it more fun. I mean, wrestling's the best when you watch with friends and like you've got people to talk to about it, and you know, you can kind of nerd out on it. And you know, before Jesse likes to tell people I'm a 15-year-old dude. I like metal music, wrestling, and lifting weights. So
yeah, I should introduce you like that. Huge Metallica fan.
Yeah, pretty much anything metal
fan. So you got out. Were you trying to figure out what you're going to do with your life?
Yeah, man, it was a big change. You know, I knew I was going to go back to college at some point, just because I had that scholarship plan.
Did you? You did, right?
Yeah, I ended up going back in 2000. I think I started 2017.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I graduated in 2019. So I fast tracked it. I did TCC and ODU. But I went all summer, all winter, no breaks. I just wanted to get it done with.
Yeah. You got your real estate license?
So I got my real estate license in the end of 2016. I did that off and on for 4 or 5 years. I always wanted to own property and try to have a couple rentals, which I did, and had a good experience doing that.
Can we kind of briefly jump into 2020?
2021.
2021. It was 2021.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just jumped off a boat, hit something?
Actually, just jumped off the beach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was out on a boat trip with friends for the start of July 4th weekend, and that was like one of the 4-day weekends for July 4th that year. And it was kind of the first weekend I really was going to have off in a couple of years, because I was going to school, I was working at Waring's, I was valet parking cars down at Rockefeller's, I was doing real estate. And then in 2020, the end of 2020, I got a job doing surgical sales. So that was my new full-time gig. And so this weekend was kind of like the first weekend that I wasn't doing one of my side hustles. And I just went and I saw my manager from work on the beach, swam in and wanted to say what's up to him and hang out for a little bit. And when I was going to go back to the boat, I think my fear of open water kind of played a role in it. I wanted to get back to the boat as fast as possible. So I ran and there was like a little platform that a DJ was on.
Uh-huh.
There's maybe a foot above the water, and I just ran and jumped off that, and the tide had apparently went out because it was chest deep earlier in the day and it was only like knee deep when I jumped, and didn't really feel, I kind of felt like I got electrocuted for like a half second, and tried to swim, and it was weird. I was like, I'm not moving, and I opened my eyes and my arms were just hanging in front of me, and I knew instantly what had happened. And at that point, I was just like, shit, I'll just hold my breath and hope someone sees me. And right before I passed out, my buddy, my manager from work.
You were underwater?
Yeah, I mean, I was just floating on the top. And I almost got myself turned over at one point. And then like a wake from a boat had hit me and flipped me over. And at that point, I thought I was done. And they said I was probably in the water like close to 40 seconds because they thought I was looking for my sunglasses. They said it looked like I was just like looking for something. And right before I passed out, you know, they pulled me out of the water. And after that, it was just kind of chaos a little bit. Like the sun was in my eyes. I couldn't really see much what was going on, but I knew what happened.
Mentally, it's a different, because you know, there's a long journey.
Yeah,
I mean, ahead when that happened.
I was hopeful. I had had a couple people I knew growing up that had had accidents like mine and had all recovered. So I knew it was possible. I was hopeful, but it just didn't happen for me. So
yeah,
it's kind of one of those things. There's no one really knows if you're going to get better or not. And, you know, you just hope you wake up one day and everything comes back. Like one of my buddies back home had that happen to him. And after 3 weeks, all of a sudden, just everything came back.
Yeah. What's been the kind of the biggest impact for you to like keep going? I mean, obviously you gotta like, you know,
my family,
like life doesn't happen to you. It happens through you. So, I mean,
my parents really like mm-hmm. yeah, just kind of don't want to give up for them.
Mom's a superhero.
Yeah, she moved out here the day after I got hurt, and she's been here ever since. So yeah. My family's pretty awesome. It'd probably be easier if I went back home and just moved into their house, but they know I like it out here, and they're supportive, and they haven't laid the law down and told me I have to move back home yet. So
has your mom become a fan of wrestling as well too?
I think she tolerates it. She normally leaves the room at 8 o'clock when it comes on. So, which is fine. Gives me my time, and, you know, she can go watch her stuff in her room.
Mm-hmm. I always think, there's a term we use a lot of times called emotional stamina. It's the harder things get, the more you rely on your fundamentals, right? Like eating, moving, sleeping, breathing, being present, celebrating with friends and prospering, you know, moving forward with hope, the belief that the future is going to be better than the present. The difficult thing, I think, with the fundamentals and you kind of going through that experience, maybe the darkest moment being able to move, right? And exercise. That's a fundamental, and you don't have that ability anymore. You've been working out ever at Kaizen?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that as bad as my injury could have been, I'm still kind of lucky because I do have some function of my arms, which, you know, just the fraction of an inch in a different direction, I could be no function at all. So I am lucky in that regard that I still am somewhat able to be kind of independent with some things. And yeah, you know, my whole life being an athlete, I've basically lived in the gym. And so that was pretty tough, not being able to go do the things I want to do anymore. And yeah, luckily, right here in Virginia Beach, we've got a place that, you know, supports the community, and it's kind of unique. There's not really many of them in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's free. It's 4 or 5 days a week that we have a class that we can go to at Kaizen. And the community that I've found there with people in my situation like mine has really been valuable. For mental, for motivation, for just making new friends that kind of know what you're going through. That's been huge.
Yeah, it's really cool. The fitness community right here kind of in Virginia Beach. And Emily is not just like doing something, but she's really kind of leading. I think she's leading the movement on adaptive.
Yeah, there's
training as well too.
There's a lot of gyms around the country that are starting to try to follow her model with, you know, being an adaptive, free, like she's a 501c3 status charity. And then, you know, so she runs her normal business with, you know, her able-bodied paid customers, and then runs her charity at the same time out of the gym and does fundraisers and supplements it that way for us. And so she puts a lot of time into it.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. I gotta hand it to her. She shows up every single day and puts time in to give us something to do. And you know, there's a couple other of them out there that do like one day a month for like a workout for adaptive people, which is great. I mean, anything is better than nothing, but the fact that she's doing 4 or 5 days a week is it's pretty amazing that, you know, and it's a couple miles from my house, is even luckier that I've got that to go to.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, I got to give her a hand for what she's doing too.
Absolutely.
Within the community and definitely benefits.
Yeah. She's a great advocate for, you know, we have people that come in that strokes, spinal bifida, lots of spinal cord injuries. Trying to think of pretty much any kind of limb deficiency. There's some amputees that come in. But yeah, anything that could really make fitness a challenge. And
yeah, you've connected a lot with some of the other people, like kind of the the community that you work out with?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have group text on there, and it's kind of fun to be able to joke around and kind of talk trash with people that are kind of going through the same thing you do.
You love talking trash.
Yeah, you know, it just keeps it light. And, you know, one of my buddies, his name is Brandon. He's a stroke survivor. You know, me and him just like to go back and forth, and which keeps it fun. And I think people on the outside are like, oh, these guys are mean to each other. But we both know we're just joking, and, you know, we care about each other. And then there's a couple of us that we go eat once a week together after a workout, which is nice. Just something to look forward to, and and just share experiences and help each other out when we need it. You know, we've all maybe figured something out that can help out other people. So it definitely helps.
Yeah. It's a cool program, and movement is medicine, right? You don't realize how just important it is until you don't have access to it. And she's allowing that to be able to allow people that you, maybe that's kind of maybe where hope comes in, and you start losing hope that I'm like, oh man, I'm not going to be able to exercise, to do the things. And a lot of the exercises are very creative.
Yeah. And it's definitely another reason why I've wanted to stay in Virginia Beach is, to have that to go to every day is, and be able to move and be challenged. I don't always want to be challenged, and I like to go sometimes and just go through the motions, which is still better than nothing.
Yeah.
But even yesterday, like, she was like, no, you're going to do this because it's going to be harder. And I was like, I don't really want to. But, yeah. You know, at the end of the day, I was like, all right, I'm happy that she made me do that.
Yeah. And, we got you here and she kept you here.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's two different gyms. You know, yeah.
Part of me is like, I feel bad for the situation. And, you know, we couldn't really help you out the way that she's helping you out. And so I'm grateful that there's somebody else that can step up and do those sort of things.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have always been super supportive of me. I mean, haven't had always the easiest time here in Virginia Beach, but you guys have always helped me out and been there to pick me up, or when I was down, especially 2016, when I was pretty down, you guys pretty much just called me up and said, hey, you're going to start working here, even though you haven't applied. And I said, okay, thank you. Like,
yeah.
Because you guys could tell that I need some help. So,
yeah, you can't always tell, you know, you're a pretty strong dude, man. You're freaking, so I don't know. Fortunate to call you a friend, but I noticed that, like, I think a lot of people, as they kind of start getting older, stop like kind of dreaming. Do you have like, or like having goals or aspirations?
Okay, so we're talking like,
yeah,
we're
goal talking about, dreaming,
yeah,
daydreaming.
Because when you ask me if I dream, it's a lot of people in my situation, they either only dream as being like in a wheelchair, or they're normal, which I dream in both, which they say is kind of strange.
Oh, you like when you're asleep.
Sleeping, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so I thought
you're both.
My dreams normally start off with me being disabled, and then as my dreams go, I normally like get better. And they say that's kind of weird. Normally they say it's one or the other.
Yeah.
The doctors, those they.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, and I actually can wake up and then go back to sleep and keep the same dream going.
Really?
Yeah. Which sometimes I'll wake up and be like,
God, oh, I wish I could do that. I always go back to sleep. I'm like, let's try to get back into that thing. Yeah. And I can't get back into that.
Doesn't happen every time, but quite a bit.
Interesting. So you're disabled, and then you, in your dream, you're.
A lot of times. Yeah. Like I'll start walking and it's kind of like, I'm almost conscious during it. And like, I'm like, almost like, oh man, this is so cool. And I'm like walking, but I'm stumbling around and like, but then as it goes on, it's like I get better and better and better. And then I wake up and I'm disappointed.
Yeah. So it's been four years since you coming since up, your yeah. accident. So has there been like, how's your like hope is the belief that the future is going to be better than the present, right? Have you lost hope throughout the years, or is it still like
uncertain things? Still have, like, yeah. But I mean, I'm still hopeful that science figures something out. A few things that the whole community has been keeping their eye on basically since about right around my injury, a couple things started kind of becoming public that were getting worked on that we have a lot of hope that
I remember hearing that
they do work. I'm not going to hold my breath because it sounds like every generation of spinal cord injury, they've heard, oh, in 5 years it'll be fixed. But, you know, with science today and computing power and AI, things are happening a lot faster. So hopefully they figure something out. I mean, even if I could regain 10, 15% of from what I have now would be a huge difference. That might be the difference for me being fully independent rather than needing help pretty much 24 hours a day. So
what, 10, 15% of?
Like increase of anything. Like even if I just had a tiny bit of function in my legs to be able to like even just adjust my body would be a huge, because I'm basically from here down, I have nothing. Like only half my arm works. My hands don't work. My pulling, my biceps work, triceps don't. So it's just any improvement would be huge.
Have you seen any like improvement through exercise or is that more for just, you know, mentally and stimulating yourself?
I mean, I think it definitely helps. I think the movement, just moving helps more because on the weekends, you know, we don't work out. And so sometimes, especially when the weather's bad, I just stay inside all day. And I definitely noticed come Monday that I'm pretty stiff. Okay. And so just the movement alone of just getting my shoulders moving and stretching out. And since I'm done with physical therapy now, I did that for 3 years, which I was very lucky that they let me keep coming for that long. You know, just the movement, I think, it's huge. And like I said, it's most of the movement just is from here up. So from my, well, I keep pointing to my chest for those of you who are listening. There's cameras in here, so I forget that some people are just going to be listening. But yeah, so it's just that movement alone just to keep what I have functioning. And I don't really have enough neuroconnectivity to a lot of my muscles to actually increase my strength. I mean, I can marginally, but I'm not going to see increases like someone would from like lifting weights, like normal, like I did my whole life. Basically, I'm just trying to hang on to what I've got, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Is there anything you have to say for people that are going through anything challenging?
Just don't give up, really. I mean, that's all I can really do is there's a lot of days where I don't want to get out of bed and don't want to do anything. But when I do actually get up and get out and do stuff, it's definitely better than just sitting around. You know, I've met a lot of people that are going through a lot of things the last 4 years. And as bad as it seems, it could always be worse. And I know that's kind of cliche, but it really is true. And then you meet people who are worse off than you, but just have this amazing outlook on life. And you're like, man, like maybe I should try to be a little more positive or feel a little more grateful for what I actually do have. And, you know, I've got a great family. I've got great friends. Life's not as easy as it used to be, but I'm still pretty lucky to be in a better situation than a lot of people in the world.
Yeah. We talked about in the last episode too, just, don't quit attitude, whatever you're going through, don't quit. You know, action comes before motivation. So sometimes just getting out and doing it.
Yeah. And that's the gym really plays a huge part in that. Yeah. And like, you know, this week, my old physical therapist called me up and she wasn't working on Monday and asked me to go for a bike ride. I have this cool four-wheel electric bike that my friends bought for me. And so got out on that and like did like 10 miles and I was just grateful to be outside and have somebody to kind of talk to. And so I'm very lucky to have people around me that are willing to put time in and go out of their way to kind of try to make my day better.
And then kind of going back to the fundamentals, the celebrating things and socially having fun. We're going to start having parties at your house for wrestling watch parties.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we got WrestleMania coming up. We got any predictions?
There's quite a few matches that are pretty interesting. I'd like to see Jey Uso win. Really? Against Gunther.
Oh man, I'm a Gunther fan.
I mean, I love Gunther. I think he's great, but I think the crowd is ready for Jey Uso to win. I don't think
has he never won?
I don't I'm not sure if he's won a singles title.
Oh, okay.
Because he's always been a tag team wrestler with his brother.
What are the titles? What's going on? Is it just made? Are they made up?
Well, yeah, the whole thing's made up. But I mean,
I guess you're right.
Whenever somebody says, oh, you know, wrestling's fake, I'm like, well, do you watch shows on TV? Do you watch movies? Those are all fake, too.
Well, you know how the UFC made the BMF title?
Yeah. I guess they would all kind of be like that. But, you know, you've got your titles that it's something that it's the goal.
So there's singles and there's tag team.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. I mean, WWE has multiple world titles. They got a Monday night world title and a Friday night world title because they're two different shows. You've got your U.S. championship. You've got your Intercontinental. And those titles are basically to make the middle of the show interesting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, normally the shows start off with something big happens at the beginning. And then you got an hour, hour and a half in the middle to kind of fill with storylines. And that's kind of like where your comedy stuff comes in, which I think is really fun.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got your main event at the end, which is always back to one of the big storylines. And the superstars, and you know, the mid card kind of is what they use to build up their new wrestlers. You'll use veterans to work with younger people to teach them, get them experience. So it's just all different things to keep people interested and kind of, you know, it's just the next goal to work towards.
Yeah. And then, so what's the Cody Rhodes and,
I actually forgot who he's. Oh, John Cena. Yeah. Oh, I was thinking about that this morning.
That's the big one, right? That's big title.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Cena's a heel now for the first time in 22, 23 years. He was kind of a heel when he first started out and then became a face, and he's been the ultimate baby face.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done more make-a-wish things than anyone in history. I think he's done over 700, almost 800.
Let's make a wish. Is that just the charity?
Yeah, the charity where they sick kids.
Uh-huh.
You know, they get to
mean he just does a lot of charity work?
Yeah, I mean, he's constantly doing stuff with kids. And so it's interesting now because his whole thing has always been like, you know, work hard, respect people, like hustle, loyalty, respect has always been his tagline. And now he's the exact opposite of that. And he's retiring at the end of the year, so it's kind of interesting and probably pretty fun for him to get to be on the other side of it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they'll do with that match, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did you think about my prediction that Kevin Owens is faking a neck injury?
I think
because Cody and Kevin wrestled. I was at your house for
I think at the Royal Rumble they had a match.
Yeah, and that was a gnarly match.
Yeah, and that might be where Kevin hurt his neck. Honestly,
yeah, that's that in slam.
Yeah, they had the spot on the ladder.
Jesse and I watched that the other day. It was pretty.
I rewatched last week's SmackDown last night, and there might be a work that he's not actually hurt. And
okay.
We'll come back and interfere.
Okay.
I mean, it could go both ways. It could be legit, a lot of times it's a work and, you know, it's just basically so they can surprise the crowd. And it'll be interesting with Cena, though, because if he wins another title, he becomes the all-time record for the most title wins ever to beat Ric Flair.
Oh, really?
So there is kind of that in play, too, where you're like, are they going to give him that record or are they going to leave him tied?
Yeah. Speaking of Ric Flair, we're trying to get him on the podcast. We've been reaching out every week to Ric Flair, trying to get him on. We're hopeful he's going to be on one day. You know, Rick used to come to the gym all the time.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
I remember seeing him on his documentary with wearing gym gear on, which was pretty sweet.
Yeah. There's a photo I sent you the other day of Tony working out with Rick. And they used to do that deck of cards workout.
I've done it.
But they would only do squats.
Okay. So
it'd be like pull a card. It's like I got to do another set of squats. So him and Terry Allen still follows us on Instagram, Magnum TA.
Okay.
So what's the Charlotte? Because I don't see this on Raw. I don't watch SmackDown. But what's the Charlotte Tiff beef?
Well, you know, they're kind of the same character almost. Just, you know, one's a veteran and one's a rookie. So it's, I love it. It's just, I love the women's wrestling. I think that their stories are great. They do.
Are they in WrestleMania?
Yeah, they've got a title match.
Because I remember seeing Charlotte and when we watched the Royal Rumble, but I haven't seen any of her.
Yeah, well, she's been on SmackDown, okay. I think. Okay. And it all kind of runs together.
What happened with the, that was like the little beef of like, she like said some pretty real stuff to her, right?
Tiff kind of brought some personal life into it. And, you know, you never know if that was talked about before and it's, they're just playing it up for the crowd or if she did what's called a shoot and kind of brought it up out of the blue and surprised her with it. So, you know, they've turned it into a, they've kept it rolling with it and definitely makes it interesting when you know their real life is getting drawn into, you know, the fun world of wrestling.
Yeah, we love tuning into drama, don't we?
It was pretty awesome when it happened.
Who do you think is El Grande Americano?
I mean, I think we all know who it is, but it's fun to pretend
Vince
that we don't
McMahon,
know.
Right?
I think it's Vince.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
No, that was a funny meme we saw the other day. I mean, that's one of the things that's fun about wrestling is like we all
know
pretty much know who it is.
Yeah.
But we get to pretend that it's somebody else.
And, yeah. Because there's and my prediction what's gonna happen is Rey Mysterio is gonna beat them and teach him a lesson on tradition.
Yeah, it would make sense.
You see, and it's there's some cool lessons involved with it.
Yeah, that's what's fun about it is the, you know, you can kind of think about it any way you want and relate it to real life and it's fun.
It's fun. It allows you to kind of use your imagination a little bit and kind of because you kind of create watching it too. You're always like, oh, you kind of imagine what could happen little bit, you know.
And you just there's so many situations that are relatable to real life, and we're not punching each other in the face and jumping off the top rope, but even in the business world, like,
yeah,
you know, there's ups and downs and struggles and people who are in it for the right reasons and people who aren't. So
yeah, love it. It's just the performance is so great, and it's these guys come out and they're controlling a crowd and they're just athletic as can be. And
yeah, I just wish the all the crowds were as good as the European crowds.
European crowds were good.
They were
really good.
Yeah, Puerto Rico was awesome too.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I don't know if I saw that one. That might have been before my time.
That was like last year. Yeah.
I'm like, I've been into it for like a month, and I'm like a fan now.
Careful, you might get sucked in.
I know. I'm trying not to.
Maybe 6 to 8 hours a week, like me.
Well, great having you here.
I appreciate it, and had a great time.
Okay, that's it for today. Thank you all for joining us on today's journey. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and check us out at wearingsgem.com. Also, I would love to hear your feedback, questions, and any topic that you would like to hear more about. Feel free to email me. My email is jake@wearingsgem.com. See you all next time.